Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perreault. Very pleased to have with us back in the studio, Jane Paul from Early On. Jane, thank you so much for being back in. I've really enjoyed our visits here. We're glad to have you in on a monthly basis.
Well, thanks for having us here again.
Well, listen, we've got a lot to cover, and really the holidays are coming up, and I think this is a perfect topic that you've brought up. We've all been there. Anyone who has kids, they have that kid who may act out a little bit over the holidays. And what we want to do is learn how to encourage appropriate behavior. And you're going to tell us, you know, maybe a little bit about how we can do that.
Sure. I mean, always remembering that every family and every child is unique here.
Absolutely.
But the holiday times, we celebrate Christmas at our house, and the holiday times come with a lot of changes in routines. We're off to visit family. We have new people coming in. You know, that stirs the pot for everybody. You know, adults and parents get tired. The children, of course, are out of routine, so life isn't predictable anymore. Mm-hmm. And it just makes life harder all the way around.
I know when I was, you know, a kid, I was a little showman, right? And I just loved a new audience coming in, whether it be grandparents or relatives and so on. So, I mean, you're right. It takes you out of your routine, right?
It does. I mean, how nice for you, though. I mean, it really does take a village to raise a child.
Oh, yeah. So
it's nice.
Or to calm one down.
That's true. I know we have, we don't have grandkids yet, but we have some friends around the corner that we steal every now and then to spend time with their young kids. And it's nice to be able to be the people that don't have to follow the routine, right?
Yeah.
That can just do things sort of off the cuff and spoil them a little bit here and there. Every kid needs that as
100%.
Well.
100%,
yeah. So I guess the big point here is just to remember, and we've talked about this before, is that whatever we focus on, we get more of. Mm-hmm. So I thought maybe today we'd sort of talk about something called specific praise. When we are watching kids all the time, we often see what causes us trouble. And if there's sort of nothing going on and kids are quiet, unless it's a toddler, then our ears are all up for, you know, what's going on, because they always make noise. But, you know, we're sort of looking at letting sleeping dogs lie. If there's no trouble, we don't say too much.
Yeah.
So I'm going to flip that one on its head a little bit and say, you know what? Those are the times that we need to jump in, probably more than when kids are having causing a little bit of trouble. Because if whatever we focus on, we get more of, which is sort of the parenting rule, then if we focus on the good behavior and focus on when they're doing well, then, you know, that's what we get more of. And that's sort of the point here. And that will make our Christmas holidays and our, you know, however you're celebrating, it makes it a little more steady for the whole family.
It's like when you're an employee and your boss praises you and says, hey, you're doing a great job. It makes you want to do a better job.
Exactly. That's
so what
that's
you're saying
the motivator.
Is we should look at our kids as employees. Well, maybe not.
So close. So in my generation, we were praised, and, you know, the praise came as a couple of words. Good job. Well done. But if I actually say that to you, you have no idea what I'm telling you you're doing a good job with. You know, mm-hmm. Is it because you're sitting quietly there? Is it because, you know, you dressed nicely this morning? You know, you have no idea. So we use something called specific praise, where basically we describe what it is we see. So if I say to you, oh, you're sitting and playing so nice and quietly today all by yourself, good job. Then you know exactly what it was, the fact that you were there playing quietly, the fact that you were, you know, when you were bored, you found something to do by yourself,
right.
You know, and then you know exactly what it is. So that's sort of the key behind specific praise. And there's a lot of sort of scientific theory behind it. If I just come in and tell you, as you're, say you're painting a picture at playgroup or something, if you were a child, and I said to you, oh, that's a beautiful picture, nicely done, then that praise, that feeling inside you of having done a good job, only comes when I am in a good mood, when I'm having a good day. This morning, it was a little tough getting in here with the roads icy up where we are in the highlands there, mm-hmm. A little bit late coming in. So I'm not in the best of moods here. So if I'm having kind of a tough day and I don't remember to tell you you've done a good job, then you kind of lose out on that. When we use specific praise and we describe what we see, and I say to you, oh, you started with your paintbrush here and you went up there and you did a circle and you did a dot, dot, dot. Wow, you worked hard on that. You know, what comes from you then? You start saying, oh, yeah, I did that. pretty good job, eh?
Mm-hmm.
So that feeling, that good feeling and that self-esteem comes from inside you rather than being dependent on me telling you you did a good job.
And when you do hear it a couple times, though, then you have sort of like that muscle memory, if you will, and it stays with you.
Absolutely. And we're modeling, you know, how they should speak to other people as well.
Yeah.
So when they appreciate something or they see something positive in the world that they enjoy, they know how to describe that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if we take that sort of from the art area onto our slightly older kids, you know, Christmas time comes usually with lots of different things around the house. You know, grandma and grandma bring things in. There are Christmas presents. And of course, the jolly red guy sometimes shows up at our house and brings things. So it gets a little chaotic. And tidy up time is a daily, multiple times during the day thing to do. So one of the things that we can do with specific praise there is if you walk into a room and you say, oh, you know, we need to put away the books and the Lego bricks and make room for people to get through here. And you come back a few minutes later and all that Lego is away. You know, how would we use specific praise there? Well, we describe what we see. You know, oh, you picked up all the Lego bricks and you put them in the box. Thank you for doing that. If you want to continue on, now we just have the books to do, right? So are we going to put them on the shelf or are we going to pile them in the box? That kind of thing. And again, they look at the job, you valued the worth of the job that they've done, you know, sort of what they've brought to the table, they were able to help out. And that's important in confidence building and feeling capable as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've sort of added that extra little piece, if you want to what is next. And that's that clear expectation that we keep talking about every week, making sure kids know what it is we want them to do.
Really interesting. And so you're using it in the context of, you know, cleaning up, but yeah. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about how we can apply this over the holidays in other situations. I'm thinking, you know, if you have a crowd around, and like I said off the top there, joking around, you know, I used to act out a little bit and so on. I'd have an audience, but there's got to be ways that you can apply this to help improve those situations as well.
Sure, absolutely. You're going to put me through my paces this morning here, Bob. I think taking the time to stop and notice what's going on and commenting on it is always something that kids are looking for. You know, when there's so many different people coming through there and you want to be the showman, you know, what you're actually asking for when we kind of dig underneath the behavior there to find out what the need is, you're looking for a little bit of attention more than likely, right?
Yeah.
You need that chance to say, hey, world, I'm here, you know, notice me. So we can use descriptive praise in that way too, right? We can say, oh, wow, you know, and describe what it is you're doing. That was an awesome joke you told. Everybody laughed. That was funny, right? And then if we, again, just like the books, if we need to continue on, now it's time to help us set the table for supper,
mm-hmm.
right? So you've focused, you've met that need for attention. And that's what one of our jobs is to help meet needs for kids so that they can move on to whatever is next.
Interesting. Right?
If we don't meet those needs, then they spend the next 2 hours showing us, as I'm sure if you were a jokester that you managed to do, you spend the next few hours saying, hey, you know, if you're not going to notice me, I'm going to, you know, get a little bigger and escalate a little bit.
It's going to ramp up a bit and I'm going to come in with a bass drum banging on it or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah,
for sure. Interesting. So it's obviously a technique that would require a little bit of work and a little bit of practice.
Yeah, right? It's much easier to do when we're sitting here talking across the table than it is in the heat of the moment. But it's like any other skill. When you're building skills, we're kind of a sports family.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was going to teach you how to play basketball, I wouldn't throw you into a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would start by passing the ball back and forth. We would dribble a bit. We'd go outside and shoot some hoops. First, we'd be close to the basket. Then we'd move back a bit. It takes a lot of practice before you're actually ready to do it in the, you know, in the middle of a game. And then once we've had a few scrimmages, then we toss you into the melee and you get to play with everyone else that's on the floor.
So how do you, and I know you've talked about the communication that you have with parents before, but if people are wondering, like, you start to teach the children this at early on and crow and so on, but then how do you make the transition from there to home? How are you communicating these strategies to parents as they move on?
That's a great question. I think we look at how people learn, people in general, and I think it's a case of most of the time of modeling. So you're absolutely right. These are things that we try and model everywhere we go, mm-hmm. whether we're in a parenting workshop, whether we're at a play group, you know, whether people are just dropping by to say hello. We model this when we're out and about all the time. And that's how kids learn. That's how adults learn. We can say what we want, but they actually are going to follow what we do. So when we stop and we take notice and we give a positive comment like that, we're teaching kids how to do those things. We're also teaching them about empathy. We're teaching them about appropriate manners within the world. And so model at home. Right? Model, model, model. Repetition, repetition, repetition. That's how kids learn. And I think it's important, you know, it's not an equal situation. Parents still need to maintain some parental authority in there. Mm-hmm. But we do, you know, our job is basically to work ourselves out of a job, right? Mm-hmm. We want these guys at 18, 19, and 20, or even a little bit earlier, to be running their own lives.
Yeah.
And so we have to be teaching these skills, and we have to step back a little bit and let them play with that. One of our facilitators here in Perth is great. She talks a lot about not stepping in too quickly when kids are having power struggles, mm-hmm. to allow them to play with that power a little bit and see what happens, right? And there's so many rules in our society right now, you know, zero tolerance, hands off, where kids don't actually get a chance to try power out physically, verbally, whatever. You know, it's put the kibosh on right away. So how are they supposed to know where the limits are and where the boundaries are? We need to step back a little bit and let them try it out and see what the consequences are. Right.
Absolutely. Well, as always, very interesting, Jane. I appreciate your visits. Was there anything else that you wanted to mention before we let you go?
Well, I just wanted to say one thing. I think one of the things that parents ask for all the time, and you became a grandpa.
I did.
Right? So yeah. You have a beautiful granddaughter.
Grandson.
Oh, grandson.
Just turned 2 months old last Friday.
Oh, goodness. So yeah. Brand new. Yeah.
Yeah. He's doing pretty well.
Oh, that's good. Well, I guess one of the pieces of information that still surprises me is parents and grandparents are always looking for permission to trust what they feel inside. Mm-hmm. You know, if your grandson was laying down somewhere and he was crying, what would you do? I mean, what does your gut tell you to do?
To pick him up and to soothe them. And,
right.
Yeah.
So I think that's one thing to remember through, you know, however you celebrate the holidays, as well as when routines change and it gets busy, trust your gut. If your gut is telling you that this child needs to be soothed and calmed, whether they're an infant, a toddler, preschooler, or even your teenagers, mm-hmm. if, you know, your gut is really telling you they just need some connection and some love from you, then that's probably the right course of action. So I'm here to give you permission to do that every time that, you know, that parental feeling rises up in there, and grandparents have that in spades there, to just really reach out and pick up your children and, you know, and do what you need to do with them. So,
well, he's coming over later today, so I will put it into
practice.
Well,
there you go. There you go.
Excellent. Well, Jane, thank you so much for being here. And of course, we're going to continue this, and you'll be back next month with another great topic. The feedback that we've been getting on these conversations has been outstanding. People really look forward to them. So we're really happy to continue this
partnership. Oh, that's wonderful to hear. And we'd love to hear what people want us, you know, to chat about as well.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, give the station a message or a text and email and just let them know. Just a reminder, our website is crowlanark.com, and you can find all our holiday hours, because we do run playgroups through most of the holidays in there.
Okay.
But there are a few changes. So head to the website, crowlanark.com, and find out where the playgroups are, find out where our parental discussion groups are as well. And you're always welcome to come out to one of those as well. Everything's free. And just chat with our great facilitators and myself as well.
Perfect. And if you want to send in an idea for Jane to speak about on In Focus, then just send it to news@lake88.ca. There we go.
Wonderful.
All right, Jane, thank you so much. And we look forward to talking to you again in a few weeks.
You too. Enjoy that grandson.
Yes, today. And Merry Christmas.
You too.
We welcome tomorrow Kevin Cloutier with Planet Youth Lanark County, who brings us the latest on progress made by the group that is working to keep youth from traveling down the path to addiction. Again, today's guest has been Jane Paul from Early On. I'm Bob Perreault. Have a wonderful afternoon.